Hey, I'm Sheena, former miserable corporate attorney turned full-time calligrapher and creative entrepreneur. I used to feel like I was living my life for other people, and now I am more true to myself than ever. And each week, I'm sharing a short but powerful lesson that I've learned on that journey. So if you're looking for a way to get more creativity and possibility into your life, you're so in the right place. Let's dive right in. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sheena Show. If you're looking at the video of this at all, you will notice that I'm holding this tiny microphone up to my mouth. I'm forever trying to get better audio on here because I'm trying to edit this Sheena Show and just kind of do it a little more scrappily, put it out myself. So hopefully this sounds better, even though it looks a little ridiculous to be holding a tiny lav mic up to my mouth. So with that start, this episode is going to be one of the more kind of personal, pretty deeply personal, honest reflections on what it is actually like sometimes to be a creative entrepreneur. It gets so glamorized, you know, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life, be your own boss, a 4-hour work week, all that stuff. And a lot of times the hard side of it doesn't get talked about enough. And I understand that worry. You know, as an entrepreneur, you want to appear successful so that people will trust you and buy from you. And this kind of honesty is needed out in the world. And I do feel like it does build trust with the right people, and that's you. So I'm going to be honest. And this is also going to serve as a 2-month update on my radical business experiment of 2023. I announced in February that I was going to come back to Crooked Calligraphy and try and do it differently so I don't burn out again. Try and be more free with what I post and share and follow my inspiration. And I'm going to be, here's where I start to be really honest. It's been so hard. This last month has been really, really hard. The first month, February, was kind of, hey, it felt like I was kind of climbing this hill of possibility, you know, click, 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 up, up, up. Oh my God, I see so much potential all around me. Of course I can make money. This is going to be great. I learned how to be a coach. I'm going to use all that. I'm going to be even more successful than before. But in the last month, some stuff has really kind of started to bring me back down to earth. And that stuff is money, worries about money. So here's what I'm going to do in this episode. I'm going to kind of walk you through how it's been like, what's been keeping me up at night, a realization that I had last night that led me to a real emotional breakthrough just this morning, and some concrete tools on how I manage all of this and still keep going. So the first part, money, yo. This, I feel like, is something that a lot of business coaches and, you know, people who glamorize entrepreneurship, you know, who tell you, like, just be yourself, just trust the process, you know, you'll be fine. They really ignore the very real struggles and worries that people have about money. Even the coaches that I follow, it seems like once they reach a certain level of success, right, and money security, then they're able to say, oh, be yourself, follow your bliss, you know, just follow your inspiration and the money will come. And I have been really, some personal kind of money facts have come to light that have made me realize, oh, maybe I actually do need to be a little bit worried about money. And I told you I was going to get personal, right? Some of this stuff is just the realization that, you know, my husband's income, now that he's putting away more for retirement, he is 51, is not enough to cover kind of his half of expenses in our household. It's the realization that I was making a lot more money in 2019, 2020, 2021. When we bought this house, I had kind of counted on a certain level of income that I frankly haven't been making for the past few months. And it just, as much as I've worked internally on my money stories and thoughts and my belief in myself, and I've worked with a life coach and I've done so much internal work, I still have these anxieties about money, you know, and it spirals. It spirals from, oh, we're spending a lot more of my savings than I thought, to, oh my God, what if my business fails? What if I'm never able to sell as much calligraphy courses as I did before? What if no one likes calligraphy anymore? What if my success was just a fluke? What if I drive everyone away with this weird ass experiment and these personal things that I'm sharing? Like, what if my husband loses his job? What if we lose the house? Spiral, 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 on and on. And to be frank, I've been kind of completely lost lately in these thoughts. And in fact, I've been so lost that I just really, the anxiety has taken over my day to day. I'm kind of not showing up as my most bubbly, optimistic self in my day to day life. And it really, really hits me at night. So here's where we get into the part of what happened last night. Last night, anybody who suffers from insomnia will fully understand me. I was tired. I have actually a little bit of a cold. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I thought I would sleep well, but y'all, my brain, my stupid brain, kept me up until 3 a.m. I laid in bed for a solid 4 hours just in the dark, trying to sleep. I would do my usual tricks of reading old familiar books. But as soon as I got kind of drowsy and closed my eyes, oh, all those anxieties swirled back in. And I just kind of fought it for a little while. That's the worst part of insomnia, right? Is the fighting of it. The frustration, the why is this happening? Oh, my day is going to be ruined now. What if this happens tomorrow? That's the worst part. And for a while, I did kind of struggle with that. Like, oh, why can't I sleep? This is stupid. And here's where a lot of this internal work that I've done over the past 7 years, 8 years, it really showed up for me. Because at a certain point, I just gave up. I let it go. I let go of the expectations and frustrations and was like, well, if I'm not going to be able to sleep, I might as well use this opportunity to, I don't know, meditate. Let's try meditating. I never give myself like a nice dark spaciousness to really try meditating. So I did that for a little while. Deep breaths in and out, trying to focus on what thoughts were coming in. But you know what? It didn't really work. All the thoughts kind of kept slipping away. I kept getting lost in the anxieties. I tried tapping, some of my anti-anxiety tools that I've learned in my life coach certification. I tried kind of slowing my thoughts down, all these tricks. And I was kind of floating in and out of just kind of semi-sleep and then wide awake. And at one point, I just kind of got this image, like a really familiar image. And it's that little 7-year-old inside me, that little girl who just wants to play. And who I have been ignoring all this while, this whole month, while I have been mired in my anxieties. That little girl has just been scrooched down really small inside my heart, just kind of keeping out of the way while my anxieties thump around. And really, I forget about her often. And that just, like, it makes me cry right now thinking about it. I think that actually releasing, letting go of the struggle, just letting my mind wander, letting the image of that little girl come up, I think that's what kind of broke things through for me. Because suddenly it all seemed just ridiculous. My staying up full of anxiety, full of money worries, full of despair at myself and my problems. Like, it all just started to feel ridiculous. Because here's the truth. I have this thought that we're going to run out of money and I better make some money right now. And oh my gosh, if I'm not bringing in any money, disaster. When really, we have a comfortable, healthy, sufficient savings that I worked really hard for that is going to keep us from real financial trouble. My fear, my worry that, oh my God, you know what? What if no one wants to learn calligraphy anymore? It's 2023, it's not 2017. Even though I still have over 100,000 followers on Instagram, and for crying out loud, one of my calligraphy posts, a troubleshooting one, just went viral and is continuing to rack up. It has like a million views. Clearly people are interested. The worry, the deep down fear that no one will want to buy anything from me, that I have no value if I fail at selling calligraphy courses, that there's nothing else I can do. When really, I look at what I've done in my life. It's not like calligraphy is like this one lucky thing that I'm magically good at. No, I picked up calligraphy. And 5 years later, I was one of the most well-known names in the industry, at least in the modern calligraphy industry. Someone just told me that recently. And I had to kind of remember it to myself and be like, oh, wow, that's true. As if I didn't get myself into the best university in the nation and a top five law school, even though I really didn't want to go to law school. As if I hadn't succeeded at really nearly everything in life that I really put my mind to. And maybe that's one of the problems, is that I have never really truly failed before. I have for sure had small failures, things that didn't go my way, products I launched that nobody bought, thousands of money lost due to something that didn't work out, like lots of little failures, but never a big, huge, life-threatening failure. And I think that's one of the blessings of my life and one of the curses. To be honest, it's a blessing that I have the upbringing and the life skills and the confidence to have gone through life avoiding major catastrophe. And it's a curse because it makes me so terrified of when that major catastrophe might happen. Because I don't have that lived experience of going through it and surviving. And so what it really comes down to, and here's the third part where I get into what kind of helps me ride this roller coaster and the concrete tools that I use. What it really comes down to is an underlying faith that no matter what happens, I will get through it. I will figure out a way. No matter what happens, things will be okay. And I'm going to get a bit woo-woo philosophical with you. I have cultivated over the years this belief that in the grand, grand scheme of things, in the spiritual scheme of things, no matter what happens, I will be okay. And that means that even if I suffer the worst torture on this earth, when I die, I believe that ultimately my spirit will be okay. And to get even more granular and into this kind of woo-woo-ness, what I really believe is that my current belief is that my soul, my infinite, eternal soul, chose this human life to experience the humanness of it. It chose to leave the just kind of eternal golden zen of whatever it is to be a spirit, and it chose to come down here and experience the messiness of a human life, the suffering of it. The victories, the highs and the lows. And that fundamentally, one of my jobs here to satisfy my soul is to feel really alive, is to feel and experience all of it. Even though the low stuff is really fucking hard sometimes, I think that underlying belief, that faith, is what leads me to acceptance. Acceptance that the lows are okay. They're what makes the highs feel really high. That it's not supposed to be carefree and comfortable and easy all the time. That sometimes it does get uncomfortable and hard. And it's okay. Nothing's gone wrong. I can get through it. That's the underlying faith that really I always come back to now. And here, as I promised you, are the concrete tools that help me get there. So number one is definitely the small anti-anxiety techniques that I have learned through the years that seem so insignificant. But whenever I remember to do them, it really gives me a sense of, oh my gosh, I can really control my experience and my feeling about all of this. And they are small techniques like tapping. If you don't know what tapping is, you can just kind of look it up. I learned a faster version called faster EFT or faster tapping, which really it takes 20 seconds and it's just tapping on certain acupressure points that calm my nervous system. It's small stuff like taking some deep breaths, going on a short walk, taking a swim in the pool. I did that yesterday, moving my body, petting my dogs. It's really small, unsexy stuff that makes a huge, huge difference because it shows me that I have some control. Number two of these concrete tools is perspective shifting thoughts. And gonna be 100 with you, these mostly revolve around death. It's the reminder to myself that I am gonna die one day. One thing that shifts me really out of my anxieties and into a larger perspective is trying to imagine vividly, vividly, that I only have 3 years left to live. How would that feel? Would I be so worried about all these little things? What would I want to do instead? How fearless would I be? And what helps me kind of get into that mindset is remembering my friend Andrew, my best friend, my like brother. We knew each other since we were 14, and he died when he was 38 after only 5 months of battling cancer. All of that reminds me, like, look, I actually could die at any moment. I could die tomorrow. I could die in 3 years. Or I could live another 30, and I just don't know. And that really just snaps me out into, oh my God, what am I doing? What do I want to do? What do I want to do with myself? What do I want to do with my life? And number three is leaning into and remembering that deep sense of acceptance, that faith that, okay, I believe actually no matter what happens, no matter all the suffering on earth, that ultimately in the end, my soul, my spirit, whatever magical universe dust I'm made of, will ultimately be okay. That my purpose here on earth is not just to experience the easy and comfortable and golden and wonderful. It's also to experience the hard and the lows and to really accept it and allow myself to feel it and not fight it. And let it be a contrast so that when I do experience highs, I experience them vividly and with all of my being. And you know what? That faith that everything's going to be okay. Oh, that wavers sometimes for sure. If I had that faith 100% all the time, I think I would be a little bit closer to that Zen, but I'm not. But I think my faith is getting stronger through all of this, through what I'm going through the transition, through really going after my desires. And I think ultimately, this is the goal of all the internal work I've done. I think this is the goal of what a lot of people are trying to get at. It's not to get to a place where you're 100% content and meditating and like a Buddha on a mountain all the time. No. It's to get to a place of just more acceptance. That life will be hard sometimes, that it's okay, that it's beautiful. The ability to ride it, the ability to ride the roller coaster, the ups and the downs, to kind of embrace it, to lean into it almost, because that's the thing with a roller coaster, right? If you don't know you're on a roller coaster, or if you're afraid of roller coasters because you don't fundamentally believe that they're safe, it's a terrifying experience. The drops are terrifying. The twists, you don't know where you're going. Even when you're going upwards, rising, it's like a little relief, but anxiety about what might be coming next. And if you're riding that same roller coaster, same exact set of circumstances, same exact ups and downs and twists, but you have this fundamental belief that, hey, it's safe. It's been welded solidly and inspected, and many, many people have ridden it, and it's ultimately safe. And then you could kind of scream and raise your hands and enjoy it, even though sometimes it's hard and scary still, and thrilling, and maybe a little too much and intense. That's, I think, the difference that I'm realizing I want to go for. Is not the feeling happy all the time, but the embracing and the acceptance of all of it. I hope that these personal musings have been helpful. If you are a creative entrepreneur and this speaks to you and you want some help getting closer to this, riding the ups and downs and being more okay with it and feeling more alive, I can help you. I'm opening up just a few one-on-one coaching spots. Go to crookedcalligraphy.com/coaching to check it out. I would love to work with you and share all of this knowledge and wisdom that I've gained over so many years of actually living through it and learning from mentors and working on myself and working with a life coach. If I can make it slightly easier for you, I would love to do that so you don't give up. Because goddamn, what a ride this can be. I'll see you in the next Sheena Show. Thanks for listening. Oh, you're still here. That's awesome. That means that you like the show, right? Thank you for listening to the end. And I want to ask you a really quick favor. Could you take 2 seconds right now, literally right now, to just leave a rating on this podcast? And if you're feeling extra generous, write a 1-sentence review. It really helps more people like you to find this show. You are awesome. I'll see you next time.